Father, we thank you for, again, just continuing to allow us just to grow closer to you, just to worship you in song. And again, as we transition to just hearing from your word, hearing from what it is that you've poured into my heart and inspired me through, again, would you continue just to allow your Holy Spirit just to rest upon me for this time, that you would allow us, again, just to hear from what it is that you have to say. And again, Father, again, would you continue to work within each and every one of us, that as we dive in here again, would you put away the distractions, would you put away the things that pull us away from you, and continue just to open us up to hear from your word, to hear from your Holy Spirit, God. And so, Father, again, I just pray over each and every member here, over every visitor, over every future person who clicks on this video. Again, would you continue to work within us, and again, just allow us just to better reflect your Son, to come to better know who it is that you are, that come to know you even for the first time, that we would spend this opportunity just to dive into what it is that you have in store for us. And again, would you continue to keep us motivated for the future that you have for us? And so, God, we thank you. We do these and we pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a short time that I've been familiar with the name Evelyn Berezin. She was a computer scientist who started working back in the 1950s. And she was very talented, but because she was a woman, essentially, the industry unfortunately never took her very seriously. Berezin had many accomplishments under her name. She built one of the largest airline reservation systems for United Airlines, and she also developed one of the very first computerized banking systems. But when she went to her bosses for a new idea for a system for secretaries across the United States, her idea was dismissed. See, at the time, secretaries were working on typewriters. And I don't know if you've ever used one. It's been a while for me. But with a typewriter, if you make a mistake, you're done. That's it. There's no backspace. There's no control Z. There's nothing like that. So imagine for these businesses and organizations having to type and then retype a document. And then after revisions, retyping it. And then if you wanted a duplicate of it, you had to retype it. Some of these companies had rooms full of people typing and retyping documents just to be distributed. And so Berezin, she saw a better way, and she wasn't going to let society hold her back. She started her own company called Redactron, and she developed the very first word processing system in 1969. These were big, they were loud, but they were capable of editing, deleting, cutting and pasting all types of features that you and I have come to expect as standard. See, many in the tech world actually would say they give credit to Berezin for the prevalence of the personal computer, because without her vision of what could be, companies like Microsoft, Apple, IBM, and Dell may not have been as prolific as they are right now. We're continuing in our series, Fresh, where today we're going to be looking at what it means to have a fresh vision. See, last week we covered our mission statement, which is to grow hearts for Jesus, his people, and his world. And we looked at the fact that the mission statement kind of covers what we do. Essentially, it kind of says why we exist. And this week we're going to look at our vision statement and how it kind of fits into our mission statement. See, the vision statement covers a lot more of where are we going. So if the mission statement is the goal, then the vision would be an idea of what the goal could look like. You could think of the vision like a painting. It's a picture of what West Houston could be through the power of God alongside the Holy Spirit. In the vision that I have for us here, there are seven statements. And with each of these statements, I want to paint a picture for us here as to what I see West Houston becoming in the future. But the most important thing that I really want to say that between this mission and the vision is not that the mission and vision I see here is myself doing. This is the mission and vision that I see us doing. Now, the last note that I'll make before we begin is that as I've been going over this new direction, this is not me saying that the things that have been done in the past are bad, right? That everything done in the past is exactly what God wanted. And it's through these past actions that have brought us here today. And so we praise God for the work that he's done here at West Houston. And our goal now is to honor that past, but to look towards what God has in store for us in the future. Now, I mentioned this last week, but the full document that we're going over is in the description below. So if you haven't had a chance to look at it, then I'd highly recommend that you give it a once-over. And I'll be reading through these statements, but just once for the sake of time. And so if you want to read on it at your own pace, then it's down in the description for you to download. So the first statement: we see the EM as a place of growth and transformation through experiencing Jesus and helped by the Holy Spirit. Growth and transformation should not be the exception, but it should be the expectation. Here at West Houston, we want to constantly be seeking life change through Jesus Christ. Paul told the church in Corinth, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come." When you have given your heart to Jesus, you start a new life. You're no longer the same person with the same ending. Your life has been made new with Christ. This doesn't mean that you're perfect and that nothing bad will ever happen to you, but that you see your life through a different lens. Let me tell it this way. There's a story of a realtor trying to sell a house. And he's had this one guy look at the house, and he's there, and the realtor keeps going over to the guy, and he's like, "Hey, if you like this, then we can repaint the color here, because this wall's kind of iffy. And those windows over there, they're kind of old, so we can talk about replacing those. And even those kitchen cabinets over there, we can redo those because they're broken." But the buyer said to the realtor, "Oh, I don't want this house. I want the site. I want to tear everything down and then build my dream house here." This is the kind of transformation that we are wanting to seek here at West Houston. We want God to tear down our old selves, our old way of thinking, our old way of acting, our old selves, and continue to make us new. The second statement: we see the EM as a place where people can begin their relationship with Jesus, deepen their love for him, and empowered to proclaim him to the world. In the same way that we should be diving deeper into our relationship with Jesus, here at West Houston, we should also be a place where people can come to know Jesus for the very first time. That this is the entire premise behind John 3:16, arguably the most popular verse in the world. But what's interesting here is that verse 16 shows the motivation behind why God sent Jesus Christ. Verse 17 shows us the purpose. See, it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." God sent Jesus Christ not to condemn us, but to save us, because he loves us. Our vision here at West Houston is to help people put their faith in Jesus Christ and walk with them as they deepen their love for him. This is often called the process of discipleship, and when we dive into this, I'll elaborate a little bit more on this process, but think of it just like a normal age progression. You start off as a baby, you become a child, you grow into a young adult, and then eventually, God willing, become a parent. These stages are the same towards our stages in faith. The third statement here: we see the EM as a place where we can encounter God in real, authentic worship, where the songs we sing, the lessons we learn, and the sermons preached are not just scratching the surface, but ones that go deep into our hearts. Our purpose in gathering here for service or Bible studies or really any event that we do is meant to be done in worship to God. But it's more than just the act of doing. We want to authentically engage God where we are at. And the way that we do so is to be intentional with the programs that we do and intentional with the motivation that we do them in. That we don't sing songs to show off our voices, that we don't teach lessons to show how smart we are, and we don't preach sermons to get people to like us. We do these things because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we desire for others to have that relationship too. Take, for example, there was a famous English theater performer who was doing an encore for his fans where he read anything that they asked him to read. And one person was a pastor, and he raised his hand and he said, could you read Psalm 23? And the actor replied, Well, I'd be happy to read it on the condition that after I read it, you read it as well. And the pastor was taken a little aback, but he said, okay, that's fine. And so the actor began reading it. And Psalm 23 goes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." And so again, the actor goes through and he reads it flawlessly. His intonation is mesmerizing. His timing is perfect. And when he finished reading the psalm, the entire crowd just, they rose to their feet and they started cheering. And then the actor, he motioned for the pastor to come up and to read his turn now. And the pastor was an older gentleman. And when he came up and he read, his voice wasn't nearly as loud. And his tone lacked some of the warmth. And when he got through, there was silence. And many of the heads were bowed and several more had tears in their eyes. And the actor came up and he came to the pastor and he said to him, "See, when I read through this, I touched people's hearts and their ears. But when you read through this, it touched people's hearts. The difference here is that I know the 23rd Psalm, but you know the shepherd." See, for us here at West Houston, whether in a song, a lesson, or a sermon, we want to worship God authentically because we want to know God. Statement number four. We see the EM as a place where everything starts and ends with God's holy word, that it is the litmus test to all the things that we do. We lean upon it, learn from it, and desire more of it. God's word is what guides us. Our mission, vision, and core values that we've been going over are all founded on biblical principles. The Bible is our source of our understanding of who God is and how God's plan has been for us since the very beginning. And the only thing greater than our Bible would be Jesus himself. And I don't know many other books that have been taught over by so many different people in so many different ways that even for myself, as I've been writing messages and going through these things each week, there are times where I turn to a verse that I've already spoken over and I read through it and I still learn new things. And this is the exact reason why they call this the living word. Because even now, as many years that have passed since its inception, it continues to teach and inspire us. Of all the things here, I desire deeply for every member here at West Houston to grow more in love with their Bible. Because the more you love your Bible, the more you're transformed by it. The more you love your Bible, the more that you'll see and have a desire for people to enter into relationship with him as well. And the more that you love your Bible, the more you want to authentically worship him. Everything starts and ends with God's holy word. Statement number five, we see the EM as a place where lifelong relationships are formed, where community is not just on Sundays, where family is not just the people in your house, but the community of God. See, community is a bit of a buzzword when it comes to churches. And for us here, I don't want it to be something that we talk about, but never do. Being in a biblical community is my desire after the Bible for every member here at West Houston and one of the major priorities for somebody who has just come to faith here at West Houston as well. To give you an example, when I was younger, I went on a local mission trip to a children's home, and this was a place where kids were sent for a variety of different reasons. Sometimes parents had passed away, other times parents decided they didn't want their kid anymore, and other times parents weren't able to actually take care of their kid. For whatever reason, they were sent to this place. And when we went there, there were close to about 100 kids on this property with ages ranging all the way from 1 to 18. And the way that they did things here is that couples would volunteer and they would become foster parents, basically, for a group of 6 to 8 kids. And all the families lived together on the property, each family to their own house. And their goal here wasn't just to take care of the kids physically, but it was to love these kids as Christ has loved them. Their model was to get these kids into small families so they could experience the love of Christ from parents who love them. And for some of these kids, this would be the first time that they've ever experienced a love like this. And so our model here at West Houston is that we want you to be in a small group of people so that you together can experience the love of Christ. that together we can encourage one another, we can pray for one another, rebuke one another, cry with one another, laugh with one another, and grow with one another. That this group of people would be your second family that loves you just as much as your first. Statement number 6. We see the EM as a place known for its love in action. We desire this ministry to be a place where we serve not only the people who walk in our church, but the people in our city, our state, and God willing, our world. We want to be a place where our faith moves our hearts to act. In Matthew 20:26-28, it reads, "It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In this passage, the disciples here are fighting over who's going to be Jesus' right and left-hand man. And Jesus replies to him with what he says. He tells them that if you desire greatness, then you must humble yourself. And Jesus demonstrates this in his own example as what he tells them here. This is his first time foretelling his crucifixion, that his life will be given to serve and to save people like you and me. That this is the attitude that Jesus takes and that we are to follow, that we are here at West Houston and we want to be a church that impacts our local community, that we want to grow to be a place known for how we love those around us. That people can look towards our church as a place where Christ isn't just a person we talk about, but a person we look like. And this is why we want to consistently be serving and loving our community and our world. That I dream of a day where we can gather to paint houses around the church, that we would tutor at the schools nearby, and that we can landscape houses that have been neglected and anything else that our community needs and eventually that our world needs. When we serve in a way that makes others uncomfortable because people don't normally act like this, that we could rally our community here to help make a difference while we introduce them to Jesus Christ, who will save them. Our final 7th statement here. We see the EM as a place where anyone seeking a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ is welcome. That no matter what walk of life you come from, you can find a home here, where none of us are perfect and no one expects you to be either. This world that we live in is full of sinners. The only difference is whether you're a sinner saved by Jesus or you're not. So we want West Houston here to be a place where everyone can enter and know that they are welcome because we are all sinners and we have all been saved by Jesus. Ephesians 2:18 reads, "For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father." I think the key here to this verse is the word both. That when Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus, he was writing that both Jew and Gentile have access to Jesus Christ together, and that they have access to the Father through Jesus. And I've mentioned this before, but Jews and Gentiles did not get along. Jews considered Gentiles unclean and even thought of them as the equivalent dogs, that they would never be seen associating together. And Paul is writing to them and he's telling them, you guys are focusing on the wrong thing. It's not about your ancestors. It's not about what family you belong in. All that matters is that we are now part of the same family through Jesus Christ. And so today, we all come from different walks of life. We all have different hurts and struggles, and we all have different family backgrounds and everything. But the one thing that unites us all together is that we are one through Jesus Christ, that we have access to God the Father through him. And it's this mentality and attitude that we at West Houston should display to every single person who walks into our church or clicks on our website or watches our live stream. And so these are where I see us going in the next 5 years or so. In these 7 statements, this is what I want us to focus on. And I know for some of these, they may seem a little harder or a little crazier, but I believe that God has placed us in a unique place at a unique time to do unique things. And when we put our faith in God, we know that he can do amazing things. And so let me close with this last illustration. I was listening to a podcast and they were recounting this one time where they went hang gliding. And the instructor, he told him that he had to trust him, that when he said run, he needed to run full speed. And most importantly, that he could not hesitate, that even though you are running straight at a cliff, you cannot pause as you approach that edge. That the only way things would go wrong is if you stop running. You have to commit 100% to running off that cliff. And here we are, hang glider in hand, and we are staring at this cliff of seven statements. If we trust what God has told us, then we need to run full speed towards Him. And so I'm coming to you now asking, will you run with me? And in trusting in Christ, in trusting in God, we know that His Holy Spirit will carry us and that we will fly. And together we can see things that we've never seen before. We can do things that we've never done before. And we can see God work miracles in the lives of ourselves and in the lives of others. And so I come before you now asking, will you run with me? Will you fly with us? And will you see what God has in store for us here at West Houston? So let me pray for us. Father, we ask that you give us faith, that you give us vision beyond what we see now and vision for what you have in store for us in the future. That through these seven statements, that you go beyond this, that you would access this and you would develop this within every single one of us faster than we can even realize we can do things. And Father, we ask that as we continue through each and every day, that you continue to guide us by these statements, that you continue to shape our church, our people, into followers of you who grow hearts for you, for your people, and for your world, and how we continue to desire to move in these seven ways. That we desire to continue to build relationships with other people, with one another, that we continue to worship you, that we continue to desire to serve your people, to serve your community, to serve your world, that we would continue to want to be driven by your holy word, that we would continue to want to desire community with one another, that we would want to welcome everyone into this church with open arms. And so God, again, would you continue to work that within us? Would you continue to shape us and to mold us into those things? And Father, as we continue through again, won't you give us faith to run full steam, 100% committed to who it is that you are and who you want us to be? Would we dive off this cliff and not fall straight down, but fall into you? And so, Father, that is our prayer now, that we would see what you see, that we can grasp what you grasp, that we can continue to aim for what you are aiming at, and that we would see your faith move mountains, that we would continue to see you move within each and every one of us and continue to grow us in ways that we have no idea that we were capable of. And so, Father, we do these and we continue to seek after your heart. We continue to grow towards you and just continue to praise you and love you. And we respond here in song now. And so we say these and we pray these all in Jesus' name. Amen.